The next case is 04-1854, Strongsville Board of Education versus Thomas Zano, Tax Commissioner. Mr. Thornton.
Morning, Your Honors. My name is Clifford Thornton. I am counsel for the Salvation Army, who filed an application for exemption of real property in Cuyahoga County. Parenthetically, I stand before you thanking the Almighty that I'm not an employee of the City of Cleveland after having listened to the arguments. This case involves the construction of the statutes having to do with the filing of an application for an exemption for a tax for real estate. The court is being asked to construe the language of ORC 5715-27F, which is the statute that says that an application must be filed by December the 31st in the year in which the request for exemption is requested, and also gives the commissioner the right and the authority to establish procedures for determining whether property is subject to taxation or exempt. And 5713-08A, which provides that the commissioner shall not consider an application for exemption of property unless the application has attached to it a certificate executed by the treasurer certifying that the taxes that are asking to be remitted have been paid to the date of filing of the application. It has been for decades the practice of the commissioner after receiving an application. If the certification attached to it shows that there are taxes due, the commissioner will send a letter to the applicant saying, we cannot consider this application unless and until you pay these taxes and give us a certification from the treasurer. For decades, that's been the practice. Then the applicant would either pay the tax and provide the certification or not pay the tax, in which case, within 30 days, the commissioner will dismiss the application. In this case, the appellee, the Board of Education in Strongsville, is advancing the argument, and the Board of Tax Appeals found that 5713-08A, that statute that says that the commissioner shall not consider an application until the certificate is filed, requires that the certificate be attached, be filed with the application on the date that it's filed.
Right. Well, counsel, it didn't say until. The statute says the commissioner shall not consider an application for exemption of property unless
yes.
the application is attached.
You're correct. You're correct.
Okay.
You're correct.
Slight difference there.
That is. But the commissioner has under his rulemaking or procedure making authority has established a procedure whereby he contacts the applicant and says you got 30 days to do this, otherwise we can't consider it.
And there's no statute that sets forth that particular policy.
There's no statute that sets forth that policy. But what we are claiming is, and our argument is, that 5713-08A does not require that certificate to be attached to the application the date that it's filed. There's a very good reason for that. If you look at the application, for instance, in our supplement, we attached our application. It was filed on December the 9th of 1999. The certification was not attached until January the 7th. And the application itself did not find its way to the commissioner until March. This is nothing new. This has been going on for decades. The Olmstead case that we cited in our brief is the case where this court decided that the auditor could act as the agent for collecting these applications for the commissioner. But in that case, the facts were that the certificate didn't even become attached to the application until February. But it was not an impediment to the commissioner considering the application. What we are saying is, well, it would almost be impossible. As we pointed out, most of these applications are filed right at the end of the year. They have to be done by the 31st of December, and that's exactly when the taxing authorities are collecting their taxes. And what happens routinely is these applications are collected, they're filed, they're stamped in, and that's what triggers the treasurer to do the research to prepare the certificate, which is, by the way, the last page of the application. But that may not be done for weeks or months. And to require that to be filed on the same day is practically impossible. It would create a logistical nightmare, especially in those large counties, urban counties, where you have lots of these things being filed.
So your point is, I think, Mr. Thornton, that you don't obtain the treasurer's certificate. That is done sort of internally between the governmental agencies.
Correct.
The auditor as the collector refers it to the treasurer, who then makes the search of the tax records, determine if they have or haven't been paid for the past calendar year, and then sort of as a perfunctory performance of its duty, the treasurer attaches the certificate, or doesn't attach it, as the tax records reveal, and the matter then goes to the tax commissioner.
Correct.
But counsel, it's the applicant's responsibility to pay those taxes.
Absolutely.
And there's the presumption that the applicant, there's a presumption, but it's also a statutory provision that those taxes have to be paid.
Well, absolutely. And that's the reason why
at the time of the application, if you can't get the certification on to coincide with the date of the application, in other words, the trigger there is that the taxes are paid by the date of application. Even though there may be some ministerial process that goes on for verification of the taxes internally between the two governmental entities, the statute doesn't allow for a lag there.
Well, Your Honor, I don't think that's an accurate reading of the statute, because the statute says the certificate must be attached that shows that the taxes are paid to the date of filing, not by the date of filing or on or before, but to the date of filing. That's the reason why the commissioner has taken what I think is a very rational approach to this, and saying, look, we received your application, the tax commissioner, or the certification shows in our case, for instance, we discovered there were $813.68 due from the prior owner of the property, and the commissioner says, these taxes are due and they need to be paid to the date of your application. If you don't do it, we can't consider your application, you have 30 days. Apparently, the Salvation Army was the first case where, in that situation, the applicant actually paid the tax, and the commissioner then approved the application, considered it, and that has found its way to this court. I'm sure that there are a lot of applicants who have paid the tax, but nobody objected and brought it this far. We consider that it was a very rational approach, and that the statute, and that is 5715.27F, the filing statute that says that, you know, the drop dead date is December 31st. If you're not filed by that date, no matter what else happens, it doesn't matter. Also gives the commissioner authority to establish procedures to determine whether property is subject to tax or not. And that's what he's done, or he or she has done, establish a procedure by saying, if this comes in and it shows a tax due, we'll give you 30 days, otherwise we can't consider it. Because it's true, the tax commissioner cannot consider it until there is that certification. But it's our argument that statute doesn't require those to come together, because if it did, that would be almost impossible to just administratively to do.
Is this policy in writing anywhere, pursuant to the section you talked about regarding the administrative rules? I mean, I know you're saying common practice and so on, but is there anything written that says, you know, pursuant to the authority in Section F, we are going to interpret the other section in this fashion and read unless as if it were until?
Your Honor, I don't know the answer to that. All I know is that it's been the practice for decades now.
There's no advisory documentation even on put forth by the taxing authority?
Not that I'm aware of. I think this is just one of those practices that begin.
So there's nothing in the record to support what you're saying at this point?
Correct. Okay. Correct. I mean, other than the fact that it's been the practice for, you know, for decades. And I'm not sure how far beyond, I know it's been at least 20 years. I'm not sure how far back beyond 20 years that it's been. But the statutes require the filing by the 31st, that the commissioner has the authority to make rules and procedures. And those procedures are not, those procedures are the same thing that the commissioner has done by establishing this procedure for making sure that that the application is not considered until there is a the right kind of certification or not. I mean, there are some cases that did come before the Board of Tax Appeal where people did not pay the tax, and the application was dismissed and then appealed, and the Board of Tax Appeal says no, you know, you didn't have the right certification. What we're asking the court to do here is to basically adopt the rational approach that the commissioner has done, and that the statutes provide for. The certificate itself, as I said, must show that the taxes are paid to the date of filing. That's different than saying they have to be filed on the date or before the date. I think that was put in there, the legislature, I think, did that on purpose, because somebody who wrote this statute probably had a feeling for how these things actually happen and gave the commissioner enough leeway to be able to develop procedures to carry out the intention of the act. I mean, this encourages, like the Salvation Army, we found this money was, it encourages people to pay the tax. We had no idea that tax was out there until this process took place, and I'm sure that's true of others.
Council, are there procedures, are there written procedures that exist under Section F, to your knowledge? It says that the commission shall establish them. That it can be done, that there can be these procedures. And what I'm asking is if you know of any that are in writing.
I do not know any that are in writing other than what the practice has been. And what we're asking the court to do is to interpret the statute the way the commission has been operating under it the last several decades, and that is to find that it has the authority to be able to establish whether or not allow a taxpayer to establish and get this certificate before the application is considered.
Well, you received a letter from the tax commissioner in July of 2000 advising you about the delinquency, am I right? Is that a pro forma letter that's customarily just sent out to people by the tax commissioner? Are delinquent when he's...
Yes, I believe it is, Your Honor, but I mean it's specific to each...
Form letter,
yes,
directed
form,
to each,
yeah,
each applicant.
Yes, specific to each, right.
And is that the customary then practice of the tax commissioner's office in
yes.
cases like this?
Right. That's been the practice for, as I say, at least 20 years that I know of.
And there's some reliance on those letters, I assume, from the tax commissioner.
Well, it was in our case. The letter was sent out, I think, the 22nd of June by the, if you'll see on our application, in our supplement, that by the 7th of July, the tax was paid, and then the application proceeded to be considered by the commissioner.
How does the Cleveland Clinic Foundation versus Wilkins, our recently decided case, impact your position here?
That case, Your Honor, dealt with assessments and not taxes.
There's still the subject matter of a certificate.
Right, but in that case, the assessments weren't paid. And the court said that assessments, you know, taxes can be remitted, assessments can't be, and it was, I think, properly decided by the court that the commissioner never got the proper kind of certification because the assessments were never paid. I do think, though, that, and I point out in my brief, in all respect, I think this court misstated in one section what the law actually, the statute actually says, and that is there's a statement in that opinion that says that the taxes have to be paid by the date of filing. But that's not what the statute says. It says have to be paid to the date of filing, which I think is a very big difference. And that gives the commissioner the leeway to say, you got 30 days to do this, otherwise we're bouncing your application. I think it's a very rational and a very positive approach to carrying out the tax laws. I thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Horton. Thank you. Mr. Kolick.
May it please this honorable court. My name is Daniel Kolick, and I'm going to argue this case this morning on behalf of the Strongsville Board of Education. Your Honors, in the analysis of this case, I would submit that we have to start with some well-established laws in Ohio. The first one is that statutes granting exemptions are in derogation of the rule of uniformity and equality of taxes within the state. And the law is clear that under those circumstances, we strictly construe those laws in a manner against granting such exemptions. The second well-established law that is the background of this case is that an administrative body, like the Tax Commissioner's Office, is an office of limited jurisdiction, and it only has the power to exercise that which the state legislature has given to it. Likewise, the law is clear that an administrative body, such as the Tax Commissioner's Office, cannot confer upon itself further jurisdiction or add to its powers by the adoption of rules. Under Ohio Revised Code 5703.01, which is the general statute giving the powers to the tax commissioners, it specifically states that he can only exercise those powers that are given to him by law.
But if we look at the statute, the commissioner apparently believes, and as counsel for the appellant argues, that the word consider is a technical word. I mean, the General Assembly, we see a lot of statutes, and many of them, tax law, of course, is most of tax law is statutory, where the General Assembly knows how to require something to be filed with an attachment. Here, the word consider is obviously not, it's different than filed. And as I guess the commissioner has been doing, and appellant argues, if the certificate can catch up with the application in the bureaucracy before somebody in the bureaucracy considers the application, that's okay. The statute seems to permit that. What's wrong with that argument?
What's wrong with the argument, Your Honor, is two things. First of all, this court itself, on three occasions, has construed the same statute on both the Cleveland Clinic case and the Ursuline Academy case and in the City of Cleveland versus Kearney. And in each one of those cases, this court made it clear that that certificate under the statutory language needs to be attached by the treasurer indicating that the taxes are paid. But the problem with the argument with consider, Your Honor, isn't even the attachment. The problem is the taxes. That's what the taxpayer controls. The taxpayer has the power to pay the taxes by the time he files his application. If he pays the taxes by the time he files the application, then he's done what the taxpayer needs to do to comply with the statute. That was the problem in this particular case. Not just that the certificate of the treasurer wasn't attached, but the problem was the taxpayer didn't meet the statutory condition that required all the taxes that could not be remitted be paid by the time the taxpayer filed its application.
What's your response to counsel's argument that the statute says full to the date? He's distinguishing to the date rather than some other language.
The response is Judge, as it, been interpreted by this court is that all those taxes that are due up to the date of the application need to be paid. That's what the statute says. It's clear. It's unambiguous.
His interpretation doesn't produce any different result.
It doesn't produce any different result because they weren't paid in this particular case. Your Honor, says this court has determined there are three things that need to occur under subsection A of the statute in question, which is the 571308. First, the application has to have attached thereto, and it doesn't say later or anything else. It said it has to have attached thereto a certificate of the treasurer.
But counsel, yes. Would you disagree that that can't be done based on the internal governmental or department workings?
Absolutely not. It doesn't have, the statute doesn't say it has to be attached on the very day that he files it. It just says they have to attach to the application. What happens as a practical matter is the auditor takes in the application. It goes through the auditor's office. It goes to the treasurer's office. That certification is then attached, and it's forwarded on to the tax commissioner's office. There's nothing inconsistent. There's no requirement in the statute it has to be attached. It doesn't say the same day. It just says it has to be attached to the application.
Okay, and then the provision that states that the taxes have to to the date, they have to be paid right to the date. I'm presuming opposing counsel uses that as a determination of how much is due because it is how much is due to that date. And you're interpreting it that the taxes have to be paid on that date, up to that date. In other words, they had to have been paid before the application can be filed.
The taxes that are due and are outstanding have to be paid to the date that the application is filed. That's what the statute calls for.
And you're saying that they have to be paid before the application is filed?
Absolutely.
And he's stating that that is just a notification of the parameters of how much the amount is, and they have to be paid to that date. And given the internal practice of the consideration once the application is filed, if they're paid within 30 days of notice, that's sufficient.
Your Honor, what I would say is that isn't the way the legislator set it out. The tax commissioner can't change the law. The tax commissioner doesn't determine when the taxes are due. The state legislature determined when the taxes were due. In this particular case, they determined that the taxes that were due in 1997 hadn't been paid, the taxes that were due in 1998 hadn't been paid, and the taxes that were due in 1999 hadn't been paid at the time this application was filed.
And if there was an internal policy or procedure that allowed for this gap of 30 days to pay your taxes within 30 days, and the department, the commission, will consider that current, what would you say about that?
That's where I'm asserting, Your Honor, and this court has held tax commission doesn't have that authority. He doesn't have the authority to do something contrary to the statute. He can't adopt a rule that's contrary to the statute. The statute is clear. It's been interpreted by this court on at least three occasions. The recent one is brought out by this court here this morning in the Cleveland Clinic case. The fact that it's an assessment rather than a tax is really, in this particular case, a distinction without a difference. It falls underneath the same statute. It still says it has to be on a certificate from the treasurer, and it has to be paid before the application is filed.
Is there a calculation that needs to be done by the tax commissioner when these applications come in? Is there, like, a prorating, for example, in a real estate transaction, there needs to be a proration up to a specific date, even though there have been, you know, the assessments and the taxes have been paid semi-annually or whatever? Is there an additional calculation that needs to be done by the tax commissioner's office?
No, Your Honor, there isn't. The taxes attach as of January 1 of that year. So if an applicant has to file after January 1 of that year, they know on January 2nd the calculation of taxes. So there is no calculation done. It's a ministerial matter where the treasurer goes to his books and says what tax years have not been paid, and they put that on a certificate. The taxpayer knows what it is at that point. There isn't anything that the taxpayer doesn't know when he files the application that if he would just look at the treasurer's records, he couldn't find out. There's no proration of any type.
So is it your position that if there's an affirmance here, there will not be a terrible dislocation in large cities as far as tax exemption applications and so on?
Everything will go just the way it is now, Your Honor. The only thing that would occur is hopefully the taxpayers will pay their taxes on time. That's the policy, and that's the public policy that the legislator had in enacting the statute in this manner, is if I, as a taxpayer, want to exempt myself from taxes, then I doggone better well pay the taxes that are owed on my parcel before I file it.
Your proposition is reasonable, Mr. Kolick, but let me ask you this interpretation. It says, I think, in 5713.08A, that the commissioner shall not consider an application unless the application has the certificate attached, verifying that the taxes have been levied and paid. So at the time the commissioner did in fact consider this, the taxes had in fact been paid.
That's
correct.
Pursuant
to his letter saying, I can't consider this unless you pay these taxes and I'll give you 30 days and then I'm going to consider this. And so in compliance with the language of the statute, at the time the commissioner did consider it, the taxes had in fact been paid.
That's correct, Your Honor. But if you go back to the elements I was saying, the three elements.
Yes, I've been tracking them.
One of the elements that he didn't meet, though, is they have to get paid before the application is filed so that the treasurer can put its certificate on the application indicating that they've been paid. In this particular case, you'll note they weren't paid until July of 2000.
Yes, pursuant to the authority of the commissioner saying, I'm going to consider this, but the taxes haven't been paid, and I'm following the language of the statute, which I have to do as tax commissioner, I'm not going to consider this. You get 30 days, and then I'm going to look at it.
But, Your Honor, the problem comes with that is twofold. One, the legislature didn't say that. Two, he doesn't have...
The legislature did say, because I'm reading from what the statute says.
What the legislature also said, though, Your Honor, is that he can't consider it unless the application, unless the application has attached thereto a certificate executed by the county treasurer, and when, at the time that the application is filed.
But you've already told us that it isn't possible to do that at the time of filing. That's a subsequent act that you don't really seem to have any problem with. You've sort of divorced your argument into pay the taxes before you file, and even though the certificate isn't attached to it, I'm going to let that go. Now you say, well, it has to be filed at the time of the filing of the exemption.
I apologize if I was confusing. Mm-hmm. Two separate elements. You have to pay the taxes before you file the application.
I understand
element
your argument.
Element number one. Element number two is then the certification has to be attached by the treasurer to the application.
But not at the time of filing.
But the taxes have to be paid at the time of filing.
Isn't the problem here that the tax commissioner basically was giving the taxpayer a break and saying, okay, you filed your application, you haven't paid your taxes, you have an additional 30 days, and if you pay them in the 30-day period, then I'll consider your application. Isn't that the issue here, that your position is the tax commissioner had no authority to give that extension of 30 days?
Absolutely, Your Honor. Okay. He does not have that authority to do that. The statute is clear. The interpretation of this court on this statute is clear. He does not have the authority to do that.
We don't even have a written rule. I mean, the commissioner, even assuming he had the authority to do it, which I'm truly not convinced he does, he doesn't have any written rule. It's just something he does, apparently, or the commissioner does, which seems to be inconsistent with the authority, general statutory authority, giving the commissioner the authority to adopt rules for the administration of the department.
That's correct, Your Honor. He can't adopt rules and regulations that are contrary to law and adverse to the statute. The havoc that could be wrecked on this is huge. If he didn't get to this thing to 2001 rather than 2000, the taxpayer would have had another year without paying the taxes and then another 30-day period to
Counsel,
do it.
Counsel, what is the practical application of the affirmance of the Board of Tax Appeals in terms of taxes. How many years' worth of taxes and how much?
In this particular case, Your Honor, was 1997, 98, 99, was almost $50,000 that was involved in this. That's a big difference to the Strongsville schools. That's another teacher that could have been paid.
And at what point did the taxpayer then file another application, or is this going on in perpetuity?
Once, if it was granted, go to perpetuity, but there was a subsequent application then filed in 2001, which is part of the record, and there's a subsequent application pending now before the tax commissioner's office, so he still has recourse to have this thing heard on the merits. But the fact is they didn't meet the statutory requirements that are jurisdictional, as determined by this court, to have it heard on the merits in the first instance. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you, Mr. Kolick. Mr. Thornton, you've used your time, but you may take 30 seconds if you like. You don't have to.
I think I would like to, Your Honor.
Counsel, do you see this as a problem for the commissioner to instigate a policy or a procedure that's in conflict with the statute and not reduced to writing?
No, Your Honor. I think the statute gives the tax commissioner the authority to adopt procedures to carry out his task. And I think that's exactly what he's done.
And so you would classify this procedure as merely a housekeeping procedure in how the commissioner meets the statutory obligations?
Correct.
He's going to adopt a procedure that seems to conflict with the clear words of the statute. Shouldn't that not at least be in writing?
Well, Your Honor, I'm not sure that it conflicts with the wording of the statute. The statute says that he shall not consider it unless this.
I'm talking about the paid. That I think that's not much at issue anymore. But the having the taxes paid in full to the date upon which the application for exemption is filed, that wasn't done here, and the statute seems to say it must be done. Now, the commissioner, we don't see the commissioner giving grace periods very often, so it's kind of tempting to say, well, let's give him that one, but the statute doesn't seem to permit that. Go ahead.
I think if the statute says that the taxes and whatever penalties and interest there may be attached to those have to be paid to the date of a filing of a filing of the application, but it doesn't say when the actual payment is made. The payment has to be made to that date. If there are penalties and interest and so forth, they have to be paid to that date, regardless of whenever they're paid. And he's saying that I can't consider your application until you pay it to that date. As I say,
Well, counsel, what do you say? Now, you said it doesn't matter when he pays it, but yet there's a 30-day window that's established once it's discovered that it is owing. Mm-hmm. So what happens if it's, what gives the commissioner authority to establish that 30 days? Why couldn't you be standing here before us and say, we paid it 45 days late or 50 days after we filed it, but they were paid to the date, so therefore you, commissioner, must hear our or consider our application?
That's a difficult question, Your Honor. What happened here was that the Army didn't know that these taxes, because it was a property they had.
I understand the situation.
And that's how we discovered that this wasn't paid and immediately paid.
Once the application was filed, then you were notified that the tax was due. And so you're in the unfortunate situation of, but at the time they purchased the property, they didn't see that there was some taxes here?
Well, I think there was probably a proration in the purchase, but apparently there was something that was not picked up.
You've got it. Well, yeah. Go ahead.
And that's what occurred here. Thank you.
Thank you. The case is submitted. You'll be advised of our opinion. The marshal, please adjourn court.